real and to have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KB Cam and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music, KB Cam and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Are you looking for an above-average talk show that tackles kingdom issues and current events? Then join Elder Ernest E. Richard Jr. and the panel of the Pastor's Corner podcast every Thursday night at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 9 p.m. Central. It's a show that tackles those issues that attack your day. It's the Pastor's Corner radio podcast here on Elations Radio. That's real talk for real people with real purpose. And now it's time for our Faithful Financial Moments with Sister Sharon Richard.
This is Sharon Richard with your Faithful Financing Moment. Budgeting is an important aspect of managing your finances, yet most people fail to budget. We have all heard the saying that a failure to plan is a plan to fail. In Luke chapter 14, verses 28 through 30, Jesus clearly indicates that if we do not plan ahead, we are foolish. Your budget is a critical tool in helping you to stop the madness of overspending and get on track to achieve your financial goals. Some of us are overwhelmed at the prospect of budgeting, but you should not be. The process will require some work on your part, but with diligence, the rewards will be recognized. The first step in developing a budget is simply to make a list of your short-term and long-term goals. Perhaps you want to begin a new business, purchase a home, send your child to college, or even save for retirement. I have a good friend who managed to save enough money to retire at the age of 40. She did not have a substantial salary prior to retirement, but she always maintained a budget that she was committed to staying faithful to. It was not uncommon to hear her say that she wasn't going to purchase something because it wasn't in her budget. Number two, make a list of all monthly income resources, whether it's interest from investments you may have, whether you have more than one job, whatever forms of earnings that you're getting, you want to include that in your list. Number three, monitor your spending over a 2 to 3 month period to determine how you are spending your money today. Number four, maintain a detailed record of your spending activity so that you have a good understanding of your necessary expenses as well as your unplanned and/or discretionary expenses. Number five, pray to the Lord asking for his guidance in developing a budget which allows you to accomplish your goals and better positions you for the plan that he has for you. Specifically, pray for guidance on handling existing debt, an assessment of true spending needs versus spending that goes beyond what is truly necessary. Remember, God has a plan for each of us. When our actions are out of alignment with his will, our ability to achieve our destiny is delayed. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 3 in the Amplified Bible tells us, "Roll your works upon the Lord, commit and trust them wholly to him. He will cause your thoughts to become agreeable to his will, and so shall your plans be established and succeed." Allow the Lord to help you develop a budget. It is an important step in achieving the plans that God has for you. This is Sharon Richard with your Faithful Financing Moment. Up next, Nina Taylor with your Gospel News, followed by the Pastor's Corner, and it's Ladies' Night, so stay with us.
Hi, everybody. I'm Nina Taylor, and here is this week's Gospel News. Sidney Poitier was a native of Cat Island, Bahamas. Although born 2 months prematurely in Miami, Florida, during a visit by his parents, Evelyn and Reginald James Poitier, he grew up in poverty, the son of a farmer, with his father also driving a cab in Nassau. Sidney had little formal education. At the age of 15, he was sent to Miami to live with his brother. In the U.S., he experienced racial divides, a great shock to a boy coming from a society with the majority of the people of African descent. At the age of 18, he went to New York, did menial jobs, and slept in a bus terminal toilet. A brief stint in the Army as a worker at the Veterans Hospital was followed by more menial jobs in Harlem. An impulsive audition at the American Negro Theater was rejected so forcefully that Poitier decided to spend the next 6 months overcoming his accent and improving his performing skills. On the second try, he was accepted. Spotted in rehearsal by a casting agent, he won a small part in the Broadway production Mrs. Strata, for which he earned good reviews. By the end of 1949, he was having to choose between leading roles on stage and an offer to work for Darryl Zanuck in the film No Way Out in 1950. His performance as a doctor treating a white bigot got him plenty of notice and led to more roles. 7 years later, after turning down several projects that he considered demeaning, Poitier got a number of roles that catapulted him into the category rarely, if ever, achieved by an African-American man at that time, the leading man. One of these films was The Defiant One of 1958. It earned Poitier his first Academy Award nomination as Best Actor. 5 years later, he won the Oscar for Lilies of the Field in 1963 and was the first African-American male to win for a leading role. He remained active on stage and screen as well as in the civil rights movement. His role in Guess Who's Coming to Dinner of 1967 and To Sir With Love, also in 1967, were landmarks in helping break down some social barriers between blacks and whites. Poitier's talent, conscience, integrity, and inherent likability placed him on equal footing with his white counterparts of the day. He took on directing and producing chores in the 1970s, achieving success in both arenas. In 1963, he was awarded an honorary knighthood of the Order of the British Empire in 1974 as an honorary knight. His Stir Crazy 1980 was his highest grossing film directing by a black filmmaker until Scary Movie in 2000, directed by Kenan Ivory Wayans almost 20 years later. His honorary doctorate degree from Shippensburg University of Pennsylvania. He spoke Russian fluently. He was the first black actor to place autograph, hand, and footprints in the cement of Grauman's Chinese Theater in June of 1967. He was named number 22 greatest actor on the 50 Greatest Screen Actors Legends by the American Film Institute, was nominated for Broadway's 1960 Tony Award for Best Actor Dramatic for A Raisin in the Sun, a role that was recreated in the film version of the same name, A Raisin in the Sun, 1961. His performance as Virgil Tibbs in the Heat of the Night in 1967 was ranked number 55 on Premiere Magazine's 100 Greatest Performances of All Time in 2006. That performance was also ranked at number 20 on Premiere Magazine's 100 Greatest Movie Characters of All Time. He was a prostate cancer survivor, has 4 grandchildren and 2 great-granddaughters. He was awarded a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame on February 1, 1994. He was also appointed an ambassador of the Bahamas to Japan in April of 1997. He was a board of directors member of the Walt Disney Company. He was the father of 6 girls. He was a longtime friend of fellow actor and activist Harry Belafonte. Sidney Poitier passed away on January 6, 2022 in Los Angeles. He will surely be missed. That's your gospel news this week and your tribute to actor, activist, pioneer Sidney Poitier. I'm Nina Taylor, reminding you to connect with me on all social media outlets. You can find all my outlets on my website at msninataylor.com. Let's get back to more great gospel music on this great station. Hello, I'm Nina Taylor, your gospel news reporter, and you're listening to The Pastor's Corner with my friend, Elder Ernest Richard, on Elation Radio.
Well, I am so honored. I am not Bishop-elect Elder Richard. I love the fact that he has given us opportunity to fellowship among women. And welcome. I'm proud to be him to the Pastor's Corner. And I just want to thank First Lady for that wonderful financial moment about finances. I really believe that finances is important because it shows you how much we trust God. And I want to thank Nina Taylor for her gospel news, and what a good day. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we're going to rejoice. And before we begin this wonderful discussion, I just want to give an honor to my brother, Bishop, Apostle, Superintendent, Elder Richard. How you doing?
Lord have mercy. We're going to straighten this out. We're going to straighten this out once and for all. If we must use a title, Bishop-elect Ernest Richard, Elder Richard, even Ernest is fine. I don't know about superintendent and all that. I'm trying to stay in my role. But listen, I'm just here to hear what the ladies have to talk about tonight. I'm not here to interfere, to interject. Maybe at the end of the show, maybe I might come on. Then again, I might just hang up, so y'all have to carry the ball all the way to the finish line. So without further
ado, I just want to acknowledge you. I know.
I so greatly appreciate you for the acknowledgement. But my dear sister, tonight it's not about me. It is all about him. It's about the ladies whom he's going to use to minister. And I want to get you guys started because I know my wife and that pillow are making love to each other right now. If you don't get it right, she's hot.
Exactly. So I just want to say hello. And I'm going to start this wonderful podcast. I want to first give a shout out to First Lady. First Lady Richard, are you on? Oh, she just dropped. Oh, my goodness. She's gone. Well, we also have, not too far from where I'm from, we have Pastor Henderson. How you doing, my sister?
How are you, sis? Okay, so see that the Lord is God, and blessed is the man that trusts in him.
I'm just blessed. I just love this edition that Elder Richard has given us, and thank you so much for this fellowship time. And we also have my left hand, Pastor Wright out of St. Louis. How you doing?
Well, 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 good evening to everyone. I'm thankful for the fellowship, love, and unity on tonight. Grateful to be here with everyone. Love you all.
And I just want to, we love you too. And I just want to acknowledge everyone. I just love my elder, Bishop-elect Richard and Michelle, Pastor Wright. They've been so wonderful throughout this entire process. And I just want to acknowledge them that Ernest Richards is the COO and Pastor Wright is the CDO, the Chief Development Officer. So I just want to let you guys know that they are so wonderful. But without, it's not about titles. I just like to acknowledge people because I can't do this by myself. And now we got Pastor Henderson. We're going to get her involved too. Yeah. Way, right, Michelle? Yeah, we got to get her involved.
Yeah.
But,
but I am here.
I just love,
we love
women
you.
Because
we love you too.
I just love women. I just love women. I love women. And before we start this wonderful discussion, I was wondering if Pastor Wright, do you mind doing the prayer? And Pastor Henderson, can you give the scripture that will be coming out of Psalms 19:14, and we will begin this wonderful, this meaty discussion about mouth hurt. Amen.
Amen. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this opportunity and time to spend with you even the more. We ask that you will lead God and direct us as we go deeper into the word, oh God. Bless every woman participating, and God bless those that are listening. We thank you and acknowledge all the men that are present, oh God. We ask that you cover them in your blood, and thank you for their support and love for us. We thank you for Dr. Kimmy Robinson, our leader, visionary, and CEO. May God, would you bless her even the more. Thank you, oh God, for what is to come, what is now, and we say we honor you in all things. Have your divine will and way. Forgive us all of our sins as we forgive one another, and have you to lead us and help us on tonight through this word. We all need you. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
And our scripture reading tonight and for discussion will be coming out of Psalms 19, starting with verse 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. And that is the only verse.
Hallelujah. Mm. I was pondering on that. Mm. That verse on, like, oh my goodness, on Monday, right? Because I'm reminded, like in the Bible, words, you know, kill. It's like committing murder. And when I was talking to Pastor Henderson on today about the discussion, I really believe that we have to watch our mouth. And then God was like, let's talk about that. So I just love this discussion because I love the fact that when we are in the body of Christ, we love each other. We truly love each other. And there are times, you know, we can say the wrong things or allow our flesh to get involved with some activities outside of the body of church. But the reason why I came up with the mouth heard is because I really believe people need to understand how powerful their words are, because it says that life and death is, you know, it's, there's power in the tongue. And so either you speak life or death. And so I came up with the word, the title, mouth hurt, because we always talk about church hurt, but everything begins with what we say to each other, right? Right. So with that being said, I would like to go around and ask everyone, when you think about 19, the scripture 19:14, what kind of revelation did God give you? Because although the scripture is what it is, sometimes God gives us different revelation, and there's nothing wrong with that, because I really believe that God talks to you differently, but without, you know, the word being different. But it could be a different revelation to you. It could be a different revelation to Pastor Wright, Pastor Henderson, Elder Richard. But I just love this particular scripture because it tells us that we must watch our mouth because God is watching us, and also believers, and we must, you know, demonstrate our love for one another with the words that we say to one another. So I'm going to start first with Pastor Wright and then Pastor Henderson.
Amen. I just believe that when it comes to that scripture, I believe that he's wanting us, like you said, to be accountable and watchful of our tongues because of the damage it can do. I remember when we would go down to the front at the altar of the church, and that was one of the scriptures that would be used, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable unto you. And just having the understanding that not only is God watching and holding us accountable, but when we use our tongues in the wrong way, to be quick to go to him to have peace, that he would help us to understand how important that is. So I believe that scripture is extremely important for us all. And it doesn't go by title, as you said. It's our everyday personal life. So we want to be accountable to God in all that he's given us to do.
That's amazing. Thank you, my sister.
Amen. And I totally agree, amen, with Pastor Wright. And also just David wrote this psalm, and he was being conscious that his thoughts and his words really meant something to God. And I think that's important, you know, for believers, is to know that what we say and what we think, it does matter to God, because God hears us. He hears our thoughts even when we're not saying words. And so not only are our words powerful, but also our words, our thoughts are powerful. And I was just thinking, like, sometimes I could just be thinking a thought of unto the Lord, and just thinking a thought, and then the Lord answers it. You know, it may be a prayer, but I'm really just thinking the thought to myself. And next thing I know, God heard it. And it's like, it's just always amazing when he does that, because I'm thinking, like, Lord, you heard my thoughts. I didn't even ask. I was just thinking about it. And he knew that it was something that I desired or something that needed to happen, and he answered it. And so our thoughts are important to God. And so David recognized not only was his words important to God, but his thoughts were important to God, and he wanted his thoughts and his words to be pleasing to God.
That's so powerful.
Yes.
Because I really believe the second part where it says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, right? So it's saying that the words that we say has to come from our heart, which is inside. And so then I hear that what you think eventually comes out based on your heart. So when God says in his word to think on these things that is pure, that is right, that is holy, and sometimes we see so many believers, this is not really for the non-believers, because this discussion is for believers. So when I hear believers, with tongues that is not pleasing to God's sight, what can we do for them if we see something like that? Do we allow that activity to continue? Do we, maybe pray for them, or do we do both, like talk to them one-on-one, like maybe in a private room and let them know? Because I really believe that we are called to be accountable for one another. And when you see someone who is a believer who is not acting accordingly to, or, the scripture as we read in 19:14, I really believe it's our duty to, correct in love. So how do you go about to do that when you see like a believer? Because I really believe I want this more so discussion to be about believers, because I really believe that if we are called to do the Great Commission, our mouth must be soft like a honeycomb. We must be lovable. We must be, don't get us twisted. We do have our ups and our downs, but I'm still reminded that Jesus paid it all. He says that we're going to suffer in this life, and no, it's not easy. Trust me, I understand. But at the same time, we are called not to be coerced or be driven by our feelings, but more so what God has, called us to do individually, because I believe our divine purpose really comes together into the body of Christ. I may not be the preacher. I may be the toe, and Michelle may be the head, and Pastor Henderson may be, the eye. So, but we still come together. So when you see someone who is not acting accordingly, how do you correct them? I'm going to start with Pastor Henderson and then Pastor Wright. You guys are so powerful. I mean, I love the way you guys are. You both have beautiful spirits. You love to serve one another. Pastor Wright, I cannot wait till you meet Pastor Henderson. You guys are so much alike. So much powerful.
Amen.
Powerful women.
We look forward to that. Amen. Mm-hmm. I think you said it in the beginning is love, because the Lord has called us, as you said, to be accountable to one another and to love one another, and that is the principal thing. I was thinking about in Colossians when it says it was saying all the things that we should put on as God's chosen. In Colossians 3:12 it says, "Put on therefore of the elect of God, holy and beloved bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. And if any man has a quarrel against another, to forgive them." And then it goes on that 14th verse, and it said, "And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectedness." And I think the key is doing it in love. And to be able to be kind, to be able to be long-suffering with someone, forbearing with another. I think sometimes when we see things that may be out of order, I think that we become judgmental, and sometimes we attack the situation instead of waiting and dealing with the situation in love, so that your words would come out in love, so that the correction or the rebuke or the reproof or whatever is needed, it would come out not in a hostile manner, but it would come out in a loving manner, so that it can actually cause the person's heart to be turned toward God, so they can actually see for themselves, oh, this is how I should be conducting myself as a believer. And sometimes people don't even recognize that maybe at that given moment that they may be out of character, or that maybe they might have had a bad day, or maybe there's something going on, but their light was reflecting his glory. And sometimes we see people sometimes at that moment where maybe their light is not reflecting as it should reflect. And so sometimes we just have to also just deal with that person in the wisdom of God, so that whatever we say or do at that given moment, you know, we do it in love, so that the person can just make the necessary corrections. It doesn't mean that that all the time that they are doing something deliberately or doing something that is intentional to cause the light to be dim, but sometimes that may be the case. And I think it's so important how we handle it so that the necessary corrections can be made. And oftentimes when you do it in love, the person will usually say, you know, oh, I didn't realize that. I didn't know I had that tone, or I didn't realize, you know, this or that. I'm glad that you came to me. Because of how that you came, they were able to receive what you had to say. So I think when you do it in love, it makes the person be able to be more acceptable to what's being said.
Amen. Amen. And I agree, my sister. And I believe also, too, I was just listening. I was thinking about, you know, then there are times when there are those that know the word or know better, and they react and respond to hurt an individual. And it depends, I believe, on the urgency of the matter. If we see something abusive, we have to speak up in love. And sometimes people don't accept it in love because they don't want to be corrected. If you see someone, I remember how grandparents, and I don't know about you all, some grandparents, they just raw and they cut down to the bone. They didn't care if you, now baby, you know better. You know, they didn't come with how you feel and anything. And that's because they recognize in that season of their life, listen, they tell you to go get the switch. Saying, so, you know, you can use that little, I'm going to get the little thinnest one there is. And the reason I'm saying that is because I believe sometimes in the church, people take advantage of that, right? They don't want to be corrected because they feel like emotionally they're going to be hurt and they can't talk to me like that. But see, if you're damaging the body, we got a big problem, because now it spreads through the entire country. Because leaders have to be careful too, because if you do something wrong like that, other people following will think that's the right way. So then they have a risk of losing souls, you know what I'm saying, causing them to stumble and fall. So I think that we have to, like you said, use wisdom, seek God's face on how to address that matter, because a lot of times if it's wrong, and especially if someone that knows, we have to be very prayerful. And like we said, use wisdom. I heard Kimmy say to talk to them in love. Do we pull them aside? In some cases, we have to. You know, you cannot let people think they're right when they're wrong. And then there are other times where we got to be like grandma. You know what I'm saying? You got to be a little firm. But you don't have to, you know, be ignorant with it, but you have to be firm. So I just think that it depends on the situation and who it is and how we need to address them.
That's right. That's true that you said that, because I was also thinking about it used to be a time when sometimes if the pastor saw something over the pulpit, sometimes he would just stop his message and say, sit down, or take that gum out. Or, you know, they would just say it. You'd be like, whoop, you know. And people did it. They responded to it. And sometimes you had to do that open, you know, that open rebuke, that open reproof right then and there. So everybody has to see, hey, this is not in order. And don't anyone else try to do this, because you will get called out on it. And I think that was necessary because it kept discipline in order in the service. And for some, it might have been like, ooh, that was harsh. But you know what? Like you said, like your grandparents or your mom and dad, they would say things because they wanted to cut it off at the root right then. They didn't want it to grow or go any further. So they knew they had to deal with it at that moment. And I think sometimes, like you said, that has to be done. I totally agree.
And the effectiveness is it, don't you remember how if we saw, heard those things, even as kids, we may not have understood everything, but we knew, hey, don't do that. Get that gum. You tell your friends, hey, don't come here with no gum. You know what I mean? So
that's
the effectiveness
that's right.
of how it was set up and said, you know, it sends yes. that message in love. And it was in love because it gave people the understanding not to do it. So I agree.
Very much so. Yes. Totally agree mm-hmm. with you.
Amen. Amen. Kimmy Kim? All right.
I was just talking. I was just saying that you guys are doing it. You know, you're saying the wonderful words of love and comforting one another, respecting each other. Because I'm going to be honest, I remember I was going to a church and I saw, like, you know how sometimes people may come outside, they just maybe want to, you know, hear a word, or they may not fit in, or, you know, people, you know, just want to come and just get a word from the Lord, but they don't look like us, they don't smell like us. And I remember being at a service, and somebody was talking down to them, like, you can't sit here, you can't do that. And she was just being so mean to her. Her mouth was filled with unloving gestures. And when I heard that, I was just so baffled, because I'm still reminded that in St. James, it says, don't treat the poor no differently than the rich person. And so when I saw that, I immediately saw, like, a lot of verbal abuse. I mean, verbal abuse is not just, you know, between spouse. It could be how you talk to your children, how you talk to one another. You know, I'm hearing people, how they, you know, salutate one another when they see each other. They call themselves out of the word, out of their names. And so when I see this becoming a common thing in the church, it kind of makes me sad that we're utilizing our words just like the world. So what can we do? What kind of example can we show to the unsaved that we must, you know, have that love in their mouth? It's powerful. I mean, I was just baffled just how they were talking down to this person, and this is a church building. The church building is designed for the hospital. And so I was just really hurt to see that someone would belittle someone coming to the house. And Jesus dealt with people like us. And when we get our, you know, sanctified clothes and we get spiritual, we tend to forget where we come from. So how can we address that issue that we are facing in the church when we're talking down to people who are hurting, seeking help, but because of sometimes not everyone is like this, but sometimes we tend to talk down to them. What can we do to, you know, so that person who is addressing that unbeliever the wrong way, what can we do for that person? I mean, it bothers me. What kind of strategies would you do for someone like that? And I'm going to start with Pastor Wright and then Pastor Henderson. And then I'm going to unmute someone. I have three people on, so if you guys would like to get involved in this conversation, please do so.
Amen. Well, I was going to say, sometimes I think the reason why a person could do that is they have two things they forget. One is called selective amnesia, where they choose not to remember. If it weren't for grace, it could be them, and that how would they want to be treated. The other thing is they need a mirror, because in the mirror is the real us. It's not the us that we want to show everybody. It's the real us, you know. And I think that mirror, spiritual mirror, helps us to remind ourselves of the walk that Jesus had when he walked in the land. Of course, we're human. The Bible says there's no good thing in the flesh. But when we remember, if it were us, you know, how would you want to be treated, in love or disrespected? And like I said, if a a person was to be in that predicament, how quickly would they be quick to, you know, I'm so sorry, I shouldn't have said that, or could you accept my apology, I was going through, whatever, to correct it versus looking in pride. So I think if we would put away the selective amnesia and remember we have all have a savior that saved us from something, that when we're dealing with someone else's hurt and pain, that we would be more loving, more kind, and be willing to walk through that with them as God would allow us to. So I believe those things are going to be important, to constantly remind ourselves that our savior died for us all.
That's beautiful.
That's good. That's real good. Yes, and I totally agree, and I think that when you do that, then you are really reflecting the light and the love of the Lord. And also, I was just thinking about, you know, we hear the saying that hurting people hurt people, and sometimes it's so important to recognize where you are in your walk with the Lord, because you can do so much harm to the body of Christ and to others. Mm-hmm. When you don't address your own hurts and your own disappointments and your own flaws. And as you said, that looking at that man in the mirror, sometimes we have to look at ourselves and see where we stand with God in our walk with the Lord. And so it helps us to, you know, to be able to take inventory. So, like, if you're hurting, then, you know, to be able to get ministered to so that you don't continue that pattern or that cycle of hurting others. You know, and I find it to be true that sometimes people, I heard someone say one time, you know, when they just was kind of just with that kind of tone and talking to someone else, and they were just saying, well, that's just who I am. You know, well, that might be who you are in the carnal self, but it's not who you should be in the renewed man, you know. In the renewed man in Christ is loving and kind. And it's not intentionally to hurt people with intention to hurt someone because you're hurting. And I think we have to constantly just examine ourselves so that God, you give us the healing and the inner peace that's needed so that we can be really the true reflection of Christ. And the true reflection of Christ is always love, is always serving others. It's always putting others first and admonishing others and being considerate of others, even above ourselves. And so I think that when we find ourselves not able to do that, I think that it should show us that, hey, I need to change the gauge in my life. I was thinking today, and I was thinking about the different gauges of being hot, cold, or warm, you know, and when you are warm, the He has spewed you out of his mouth. And so when you're not hot for God and really in the word and really loving and being that light, then you're either hot or cold. So I think when we find ourselves not being hot for God and we find ourselves in that lukewarm gauge, we got to turn it up. We got to get some more words. We got to get some more Christ. Mm-hmm. We got to get our deliverance so that our gauge can stay on hot so that we can be able to be church that's able to perfect change.
Amen. Anyone like to comment? Anyone else? Well, I was also, you know, you hear people, that's just the way I am. I'm just that way. God knows my heart. But aren't we supposed to be growing? So with that being said, we're talking about mouth hurt. What you say really matters when you're a believer. And this is really for the believers because I really believe that we are in a different era. I mean, the church is not meeting. Most of the church services are now online. And now where we must continue on still going, doing a great commission with our lifestyle. Whether it's on Zoom or when you go into the grocery store or when you see someone in need or when you see a homeless person. So with that being said, why is it so important that we guard our mouth? Because it says in the word that when you are gossiping about one another, you are committing murder. It says that when you turn away, when you speak a soft tongue, you turn away wrath. Why is that the beginning? Like, why is it that when whatever you say matters when it comes to not only talking to believers, but non-believers. I'm going to start with Pastor Henderson and Pastor Wright, and then whoever would like to comment on that, because I really believe that people don't understand how, some people, I can't say all, some people don't understand how powerful your words are to one another. They really can either hurt or they can encourage a person. So let's start.
Yes, and the Bible says life and death is in the power of the tongue. And I'm reminded that the scripture says that my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And sometimes people actually lack the information or lack the understanding that our words have power. Our words carry power because God created us in his image, and God is the creator. And when he created things, he spoke things into existence. And so when we are speaking, our words have power. Whether they're operating in the negative or the positive, it is performing something in the invisible world that we don't yet see. And oftentimes we speak things and they become manifested in our lives and in the lives of others because we didn't recognize the power of our words. Just like a person says, oh, I know I'm going to be sick because I've been around so-and-so and they've been sneezing all day. I just know I'm going to have a cold. Then later on, you know, they have a cold because they done spoke it. And the other person may not even have a cold. It might have just been that they had some allergies that was acting up. But because they kept speaking that they were going to have a cold, they ended up with a cold and not recognizing that their words have power. And so it is also when we speak, you know, to others, it's so important. We are life givers. God created us to be life givers. And so we're either giving life to somebody or we're taking life from someone by the words that we speak. And so it's so important that we recognize who we are as believers in Christ and that he created us to be in his image, to be his representative in the earth realm, to represent him well as ambassadors of his kingdom, because we're no longer citizens of the world of darkness. He told us to come out and be separate and not to touch the unclean thing. And we're not citizens of this world. So our citizenship is in heaven. Our conversation is in heaven. Our manner of life is in heaven. He even said that our life is hidden in him, so that when he comes back, he's going to bring our life back with him. We are new creatures in Christ Jesus. And because we know this or should know this as believers, then what we say and what we think should always be censored. You know, it should always be censored. We're watching what we're saying all the time. I heard someone say, and they said, you know, our words and our thoughts are always on assignment to do something. So what are you sending your words on assignment to do? Are you sending your words on assignment to heal somebody, to encourage somebody? Are you sending your words on assignment to discourage somebody, to pull somebody down, to cause harm to somebody? So then when you identify what you're doing with your word, it also identifies something about yourself. Because if you're not a life giver, that means you're a life taker. And if you're a life taker, then do you really belong to Christ? Because Christ Ooh. Is a life giver, so that you may have life and that more abundantly. So if you, yes. He said the enemy, but to kill, steal, and destroy. So now you have to identify who are you and who are you representing.
Your word is powerful. Yeah, powerful up in here. Woo! Come on, let's have the church. You guys are powerful.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to say, too, I agree with you, sis, all of that you said, as they would say that part, okay? But I also want to say that we were talking about from the beginning, which is meditating, right? And the definition of meditating is to think deeply or focus on one's mind for a period of time in silence. You know, some people may use chanting, but religious or spiritual persons, as a method of relaxation. For us as believers, to meditate is to deeply think on the word of God. And in the book of Joshua, it tells us that, you know, that in order for them to overtake the land, in order for us to talk to people right, in order for us to do right, we have to meditate. We have to think as the older folks, and I'm glad we had grandparents and parents and loved ones, aunts and uncles and people around us that would say, look, think before you say. Don't always say the first thing that comes on your mind. And I think this is where our culture and our society is now. It's okay to just say what flips off their mind. It's not okay to take a moment to think before you say. I don't know about you, but before I write an email, because emails can be so taken out of context, we have to learn, you know, what the other person may receive from what we say. As a believer, that's very important, and it will deduct us from having so much hurt and pain, because something can be misinterpreted, miscommunicated by the way we have said it or written it. So it's important to meditate. I may have to go back and erase email, start it all over again, because you don't want something to appear other than what it's purely meant from the purity of the heart. So I think if we would go back to what we were taught, think before you say what the word says, meditate day and night. Then that way we can have more focus on the word of God, not just sitting meditating on, well, you know, I didn't do this right today, and I didn't know, that's good. And journaling our emotions and feel, that's wonderful. It's therapeutic. But at the end of the day, what word am I taking in to help me not to be able to have this selective amnesia and not be able to look in the mirror to see myself? Am I meditating purely? Or am I doing it out of my emotions? Am I really going to God, laying down everything in my heart that he could say, oh, you know what, remember when you did this? And you, that spirit of conviction, I'm telling you, as a believer, that's the best thing we can have, because you can think you're right, but the spirit of conviction will remind you, nope, you didn't say that right. You didn't do that right. Go back.
You better say that.
Correct that. You know? And that's when you know you connected for real, because when you don't have it, you don't care. When you have the spirit of conviction, you are quick to say, oh, God, I'm so sorry. Let me make sure. And even if people don't receive it, you're going to do everything in your power to make sure that that doesn't be taken out of the context of what God meant. So I believe if we utilize those principles, then we would spare the hurt and the pain of other people, you know. And these are things we can do ourselves before it gets to that point. And if you do, let that spirit of conviction have its way so that you can correct the matter in love.
Amen.
Wow. I mean, anyone else would like to comment? I want to see if Pastor Bishop Elette would like to come on and comment. I mean, I really believe mouth hurt is the beginning or the start up for church hurt, because in most often time people are really hurt based on what we say and then our actions. Because I heard that you said this, or I heard that you said that, and it's out of the mouth of maybe you didn't actually say that, but someone else did that, and so they become church hurt, which is really from mouth hurt. So what kind of solutions can we provide for those who are going through the process of how to manage their mouth? I mean, I think the only, like you guys just said, the best way is to take your mouth where your mission is. And then Michelle just said, it matters what you say to others. So be careful on how you manage it, because you must speak it. You must speak out of love when you're a believer. So what are some of the, what are some of the tips that you guys do to manage your mouth? Because, you know, we may have some new believers who just been on this walk just for like maybe a month or a year, and they're still new and they're still learning, and they may not understand that it's a dying daily process when you're on this walk, and it's beautiful, but you have to understand what you're doing. And sometimes people may not get it right away. It may take some bump and some bruises, like for me, it did for me, and to realize that, you will never become perfect, but you become sinless, but not sinless. So what kind of advice can you offer to people? I want to start with Pastor Henderson and Pastor Wright and Pastor Henderson, and anyone else would like to comment. The floor is open after they start.
No problem. I think after, like what we've said, that if we think before we say, And be quick to make sure. And what I do a lot of times, especially when I'm meeting people, especially if you don't know them and you're speaking in love, you know, depending on the person that you're talking to, we have to always keep in mind when we're dealing with people ministering or being sisters and brothers in Christ, meeting people, everybody may not have come from a saved background, whether they're churched or unchurched. And we have to always remember and think along the lines. What helps me is to think along the lines of a person who may not be churched. And so you got to talk to them. You don't want to talk in church terms that you could offend them. You know, they may not even know what you're talking about. And the Bible tells us in all our getting to get an understanding, but to remember who you're talking to and treat them in love and address them in love and not belittle them because they don't know the Word of God, or not belittle them because they are not understanding the principles of living a godly life or being whatever the situation may be. And just be quick to do what the Word of God to engraft them in love in a spirit of meekness so that we can gain them for the kingdom of God. Because at the end of the day, that is exactly what God is looking for us to build the kingdom of God. So if we keep that in mind, that that's a soul, not just somebody we know, somebody that got on our nerves, whatever the case may be, that soul is important to God. And if we keep it there, we won't be so quick to abuse it.
Watch what we do before we act on. Oil, allow the Spirit to guard our, oh, I love it. That's amazing. Yeah, I really believe that was one of my things. I was the type of person to put things in my hands, and I was a person that I could fix things, but I made them worse. So you're so right. You have to definitely be directed by God. Pastor Henderson, what do you have?
Amen. And I'm totally in agreement with Pastor Biden. And I was also thinking about the scriptures that says to put a guard over, Lord, put a guard over my mouth so that, you know, that you don't say the wrong things. And I think also to be able to ask the Lord for help, you know, ask the Lord to help you to say the right thing. You know, put a guard over my mouth, Lord, so I don't say the wrong things that will hurt people. I don't say the wrong things that will, you know, be condemning even to myself. But, Lord, put a guard over my mouth. And I think when we really surrender our mouth to God, like we surrender our hearts, you know, we have to surrender those areas that we know that need help to the Lord. And then he will help us. He will help us to be able to perfect those areas that we need help in. And that's, you know, for someone who's new, who may not know all the word and all the scripture, but you can tell them, hey, you know, ask the Lord to help you. To help you not to say the negative thing, to help you not to say the curse word. And recognize that what you're saying is not right, but when you want to change, when you start to say it, you say, oh, no, I'm not going to say it. Because now the Lord is helping you to be sensitive. And as you were saying, Pastor Wright, about having that consciousness about, you know, of being aware that maybe I shouldn't say that. Maybe I shouldn't like that because I don't want it to be perceived in the wrong way. So now you're becoming more conscious of your words. And when you begin to center yourself and be more conscious of it, God will help you. And as you ask the Lord, Lord, help me. Put a guard over my mouth, Lord. Help me to say the right things. Help me to have the words that will build people up. Help me to have the right intentions in my heart. And when you get God involved in your life, he will help you. When you sincerely want to change, God will help you. He will help you to be saved. He will help you. He reminds you of his word. You know, even if you just have one scripture, he'll remind you of how to continue to perfect. And, you know, the Bible says whatever we do it as unto the Lord, we do it in faith. So the more word we get in us, the more we're able to help build up our life and be able to flush those things out that shouldn't be there. But I think a lot of times our word level is low and our faith level is low.
I
and
like
so
that.
It's impossible.
Word level and faith level. Come on, girl.
But when that word really level comes up and our faith level comes up, we'll begin to see, like the scripture says, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us.
I mean, you guys are powerful. I have learned so much from you all because I did experience mouth hurts. And I'm going to ask the final question. And everyone, you all are welcome to comment as well as the men on this last question, because I really want to be transparent and let people know that, yes, church folks, we still are a work in progress, but we should see some change in our life. Especially if you've been on this walk for over 10 years, you shouldn't be doing the same thing like you did 10 years ago. So with that being said, I wanted to know, have you guys ever been mouth hurt? And if so, how did you handle that? I'm going to start with me, myself. Yes, I did. At first, I didn't understand why someone would be so mean to me in the church, because I thought church people were nice. But then as I start learning about the Bible and studying it for myself back in 1998, I realized that everybody is not on the same level as another person. And so with that being said, you don't experience people saying the wrong things to you in the church building. And so how I handled that at that time, because I was new. I was new in this renewing of my life to the Lord. And I meet this person that was mean to me for no reason. So what did I do? I'm going to be honest. I retaliated and I felt bad. But as God was working with me back in 1998, he made me realize that that wasn't the right way to handle that. Sometimes you just have to say nothing and then allow that person to vent, because sometimes when people are being mean to you or saying bad words to you or being mean to you for no reason, they are hurting. So it's their opportunity to vent. So it taught me that it's okay to just be quiet. So I have learned the art of being quiet and listening more. Can you believe that? Me? So I have learned that. And secondly, it's not about me. It's all about God. And sometimes when we are presenting with situations such as people being so mean towards you with words and they don't know you, sometimes it's just easy to just walk away, because I'm still reminded it's eye for eye, a tooth for a tooth. So I just learn how, with the help of the Holy Spirit, not to take it personal and walk away and pray for that person. And so how about you, Pastor Henderson and Pastor Wright? How did you guys handle being mouth hurt? And then Elder and Chanel.
Okay. I think as you said, to pray, and sometimes just to be silent and not to retaliate. I remember one time the Lord gave me a thought, and he says, you know, stay innocent. He was like saying, stay innocent, you know, don't try to defend yourself. And so sometimes we get into more problematic situations when we try to defend ourselves. But when you know that you haven't done anything wrong and that you're doing the will of God and you're staying before the Lord and God is showing you yourself, and you know that there was no reason for any of the conduct or whatever the situation might have been, the Lord just says, stay innocent, you know, stay innocent before me. It's not important to be, because sometimes we want to prove, you know, a point when you don't have to prove a point, because you know that you're innocent. So for me, it's just being still and just staying innocent.
That was me. You just hit me.
And
you just knocked me out. You just knocked me out with that one.
Stay innocent and let God fight your battles for you. And he always does. He always does. And then the second thing is understanding, I had a special father tell me, say that, you know, everyone in the congregation is not in God's church. And so a lot of times people reflect on the body of Christ. They say, oh, those church people that and those church people that. And they put everybody in the same basket. But the Lord was dealing with me, and I was thinking about the thought about the church versus the congregation. Sometimes we use the church and the congregation with the same definition as synonymous. But everybody in the church and the body of baptized believers, they're not the same as the people that are in the congregation. And so I had to recognize it, that just because they come to church, and even if they've been there 20 years, 15 years, it doesn't necessarily mean that they're in the body of Christ. So that helped me a whole lot in my journey, because a lot of times things are said and done, and I got to thinking, you know, you recognize, wait a minute, they're not even
they're not even in Christ. They don't even stand for the doctrine. They don't even know the revelation of Jesus. They hear. And so when they start doing these things, you're expecting them not to, but then when you get to look at, well, you know, who they are in the spirit, that it helps you to understand that this is a person you need to still love. This is a person you need to show love to. This is a person you need to keep on sharing the word with until they come into that knowledge, like come into that place of deliverance and salvation. And so it helps you to recognize, instead of being harsh and being, you know, wanting to retaliate, you now start to love on them and begin to share Jesus with them. So that was so helpful because you never want to take anything personal, because it's not a personal walk. It's not a personal attack. And so when you keep yourself intact, you can also be the light that's needed in that situation.
Okay.
Amen.
That's a knocker.
All right. Yes. Amen. Amen. Well, yes, I have been hurt. With mouth hurt, and I mean it's happened throughout. I realized when you're called of God, even in the church, you can be hurt, not only because of the thoughts of mankind, but let's think about this. You know, I always say we have to hold, to me, this is how I deal with it, I hold the position of Joseph. When Joseph was hated by his brothers, not any of them understood where he was coming from, because they felt, and the first thing is wrong thinking. They felt like he was saying he was better than them because he was sharing what God had showed him. A lot of times we have to understand, when people come at us, they're not coming after us. It is not personal, as you said, my sister. This is spiritual, and they don't understand about them utilizing themselves the way they are. If you talk to most people that are mad at somebody, they don't really know why they're mad at them. There are a lot of self-conflicting things at the end of that thing, and then they find out, you know, it was really something very minor. But we have to be careful with that thing, because some of these people that hurt when mouth hurt will do just what Joseph's brothers did to him. They intentionally threw him in a hole to want him to be put away, as if God himself would not show up. This is what I love about mouth hurt. When people hurt you and break your heart, you have to learn to go to God, and he will show up in a way that you don't
come on
have
now.
To defend yourself. My prayer was always, Daddy, you know how you say, I'm running to tell my mama? I'm running to tell my daddy every single time, because I know he's going to fix the matter. And if we learn to do that, like you said, it's easier. You know, when you're frustrated, hurting, and angry, it's not so easy to always, oh, no, but when you get this down in your Holy Ghost spirit, you say, you know what, I'm not finna do that. I'm telling on you. I tell him, and you go to God, and you be, listen, I don't know about y'all, but when I was, you know, you won't tell everything, and you know, and they did this, and they did this, and Daddy is like, okay, got that, got this, got that, and then, like my sister said, hold your peace, watch him come through. He's going to show up, and he's going to show out on your behalf. And listen, what I love about him, well, sometimes this is also another real scenario for us all that we all experience. I'm going to close on this. Well, a lot of times when you're hurt deeply, God will send somebody else to speak up on your behalf and say, you know what? No, that isn't such and such heart and blah, blah. And you're in amazement because you're hurting. Come on here. Somebody didn't put their mouth on you to hurt your heart, but God sends somebody else because he knows that the love that you have for him and the heart that you have, that he's more than enough of taking care of you for whatever the matter may be. So I believe that if we do that, he'll show up and show up. Just be in the position like Joseph. Know your daddy going to come through. You may not see how, but he's going to stand up on your behalf.
Mm-hmm.
Amen, amen, amen.
Woo! Okay, Elder, do you have something you would like to add?
Ooh, wow. There's nothing that I really need to add. I do believe you've done a wonderful job just sitting here listening to all that's being said. Mouth hurt, and a lot of you may not know this, but what literally catapulted me into ministry was exactly that. Mouth hurt. I was the president of our YPCL when I was a young man. I had a saved choir. We had a revival. I'll never forget this. My former pastor, Bishop Willa Moody, came. She was then Pastor Moody, came and ran a revival for us. The entire choir, all 17 people, gave their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. I couldn't have found a more joyful moment. And so for a season, we would come into choir rehearsal, and choir rehearsal would turn into a revival. We would literally have church during choir. This is young people. I'm talking ages 13 to 17, okay? And I mean just praising God and just giving God glory and watching God work. And then that was around that time I was preparing to go get my license to be a tractor-trailer driver because I wanted to drive a truck. You know, my father drove a truck, and I always just wanted to drive. I used to ride with him all the time. Beloved, I went away to go get my license, and I was only gone 3 weeks. I came back suddenly. I was a homosexual. I spent all the choir's money. I was manipulating the choir.
Wow.
All this stuff. And I mean, when I say wounded to the core, and during that time, the information that's available to the new believer today was not there for people like myself. We had nothing to go on, but I so thank God for this one man. To this day, I praise God that he brought this man into my life, Deacon Jasper Williams, a man with the seventh or eighth grade education, full of the Holy Ghost, and as wise as the wisest man. He had a double PhD and a doctorate in wisdom and the anointing. And he ministered to me and told me to just, you know, stay with God and keep coming to church and don't let these people bother you. God sees the whole thing. You got to give God a chance to work on your behalf. And I came, and then, you know, as I healed and I got to the point and place where I was able to forgive those who had wounded me, then God said it was time to go. Oh, man. But see, here it is, and I didn't plan this. This is all God's doing. Whereas those who should have stood by me walked away from me, and the one who stood with me, when he got ill and went to the hospital, it was during that time the Lord said, it's time to go. The pastor of the church says, I hope you stay around because I'm going to need a pastor for this church at some point. I said, well, I won't be the pastor of this church because God has got another plan for me. And I already knew this. I knew I was going, I didn't know I was going into the bishopric, but I knew God was taking me into the ministry. Well, it turned around. The very ones who would not stand with me in that time, when I got ready to leave, the last Sunday I was at church, I was the house director. When I say house choir director, the young people's choir, the youth choir, the young adult choir, the senior choir, the mass choir. I mean, I worked that day. Do you hear me? I mean, I worked that day. If I never work another day with choirs in my life, I worked that day. Came time to leave, and I left, and God began to take me different places. But I understand what you mean by mouth hurt because, beloved, I'm here to let somebody know. It is the most devastating thing, and there are people today who commit suicide, literally kill themselves, and just don't want to be here anymore because of somebody's mouth. So I so appreciate this conversation, and I don't know if Apostle Whitlow has joined us or if Apostle Smith have come in. Gentlemen, are you here?
Apostle Urban Whitlow
sure
is here. He is here.
Apostle Whitlow, what have you got to say, sir, about this conversation?
Man of God, I'm just joining in. God bless you. Been trying to get some things done, so I'm just joining in. If you would enlighten me, I'd certainly be glad to share my thoughts.
Well, I'm going to let the ladies do that because, after all, it was their show.
Well, we were speaking on mouth hurt, and theme scripture came from 19:14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. And Pastor Henderson and Pastor Wright, they were amazing with sharing so much wisdom about how important it is to guard your mouth, because mouth hurt is so imperative. It's out there. It's up there as much as church hurt. And so Pastor Wright says that it's important that we continue on making sure we watch what we say to others, because this discussion is really geared for believers, because I'm seeing so many believers becoming so mean with their mouth. And it says in the Bible that a soft answer turneth away wrath. Yeah, well, you know what I'm saying. And then Pastor Henderson was saying that if you have more of the word in you, you would know how to encourage. If you have more of the love in you, you would know how to control that mouth, because it no longer has become about you and it's not personal. It was just a bunch of discussions, so much information. So that's what our theme was on today. It was just so enlightening, because I really believe that everything begins with your thoughts, and then it comes to your heart, and then what you have in your heart is what you say. So that is really, you know, the synopsis of this tonight's show. What kind of input would you give us?
Well, I listening to what I'm receiving, I have been saying for years that people need to watch their mouth. The Bible says that we put bits in a horse's mouth.
Yes.
To if you will tame the horse, but you can't put bits in a person's mouth, and it's yet so small, but it is an unruly evil. I read another scripture as I was thinking that we have to give an account even for every idle word that is spoken. That means that word that is unfruitful and unbeneficial. So it's imperative that I agree with Pastor Henderson that if you put more of the word of God in your mind and in your heart, then more of the word of God will come out of your mouth, as opposed to the things we watch on television. A friend of mine was sharing with me over the past maybe about a month or so ago that they had a grandbaby who was watching Family Feud. And you know, Steve Harvey being the comedian he is, he heard an answer to a question, and his response was, "What the H-E double hockey stick?" And so the grandbaby, who was maybe about 2 years old, maybe going on three, heard that and turned around and said, "What the H-E double hockey stick?" So got in trouble with the grandmother because of something that it hurt. And I had to tell her, I said, "You cannot fault the baby." I said, "Because if that television show wasn't on, the baby wouldn't have heard that to say it."
Right.
If we're not careful with what we put out, then we cannot be reprimanding of what kids put out.
Amen.
Because
Amen.
In the same manner, if we're not careful with what the enemy is presenting, then we can't get mad at God when he corrects us and reprimands us because our tongue said something unnecessarily. I firmly believe with a fiber in my body that we should say what God said. That made him see what he saw. The only way we can see what God saw is to say what God said. And I'm going to stop right there. Thank you for this opportunity.
Well, thank you so much for your input. And Chanel, we were talking about word hurt. And would you like to say anything on that before we close out? Okay. Well, she must be away. But I just love this wonderful topic because it talks about how important it is for us to guard our mouth, because everything begins with the mouth. And I'm still reminded what you, all three of you, have said, the panel, and apostle and bishop, that it is important that what we say matters, because we are going to be accountable for that. It will be in our book of life according to the scriptures. And secondly, I'm still reminded that, you know, there's life and death in your tongue. And it's a reason why God wants us to watch what we say to one another, because everything begins with conversation. I really believe that. And so I really believe that it's important that we continue on loving each other and encouraging one another. It says in the word that we must encourage one another. When we think about the word love, it talks about meekful. It talks about kind and lovely. And you cannot have a kind and lovely spirit if you're talking down to someone. So with that being said, we're going to be closing out. I would like for, if you don't mind, Pastor Henderson to give us the, you know, calling of the word. I really believe that, you know, someone may be listening and wants to know, how can I come to this wonderful, wonderful family? What must I do to be saved? So if you don't mind to give the calling, and I'm going to ask Bishop Elette to pray us out, and that will be it.
Amen. We thank and praise God, amen, for this beautiful discussion tonight. Amen. If someone may be listening on tonight, amen, that does not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, amen, you are missing the greatest opportunity, amen, for a better life, amen, and a better future, amen. But you can receive him tonight, amen. The ABCs of receiving the Lord Jesus Christ, A, to acknowledge the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, accept him as your Lord and Savior, to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ that he died on the cross, shed his body was broken, his blood was poured out for the forgiveness of sin, no matter what the sin, no matter what the condition, that blood was shed for the remission of sin, and then to confess him as your Lord and Savior, because he is the one that died for you, he is the one that's coming back for you, he is the one, hallelujah, that will bring your life back when he comes back to us. And the Lord is soon to come. So just take a moment and repeat after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner, and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe that you died on the cross for my sin, and that you rose from the dead. I turn away from my sin, and I invite you to come into my life and come into my heart. I want to trust you, and I want to serve you as my Lord and my Savior. Fill me with the Holy Ghost so that I can be a witness for you. Lord Jesus, I receive you as my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for making me over. Take my life, do something with it, and allow me to bring you glory in everything that I do in my new walk with you. In Jesus' name. Amen. We want you, amen, to find a Bible-believing church, a spirit-filled church, amen, to be baptized in his name, be filled with the Holy Ghost, and to live a life that's pleasing unto the Lord, and to connect with other believers that will encourage your heart, that will help you in your journey, because we all need someone in this journey to help us to be all that God would have us to be. We need one another. So be encouraged and trust the Lord. Receive him as your Savior. Walk with him. Talk with him. Develop a prayer walk with him, and he will help you in this journey. In Jesus' name, God bless you.
Amen. Amen. You have been listening to the Pastor's Corner. This was Ladies' Night. I'm Bishop-elect Ernest E. Richard, Jr., your host for this overall program. I want to thank you, Dr. Kimmy Robinson, Pastor Hannah Henderson, and my dear sister, Pastor Michelle Wright. Love you to life. I'm just so encouraged by what your church and your ministry are putting on Facebook and the different avenues and areas that are open. And I pray God will begin to expand you even more so. I'm just praying God will do even more with you. I mean, it's just enlightening to, and I'm saying this not to put you past anybody. I already know Pastor Henderson has been doing a great work for years. And I mean, she ministers, she deals with the elderly, and she's just an amazing young lady when it comes to her love. But see, she, you know, we don't follow per se zodiac signs, but for the sake of identification, for those of you that are still yet worldly, we're both cancers. And so cancers have a love for the elderly anyway. So I'm going to leave that alone. Anyway, let's move on.
Me and Michelle are born in the same month, so we say the best for last.
Yeah. The best just spoke, so I'm gonna let that one go. Anyway, while you are interrupting my flow, I'm still trying to figure this out.
Y'all.
My Lord, Apostle Whitlow, you see what happens when you give them? You know what I'm saying? Apostle Whitlow, you hear this right? Now, if I start going off the deep end, she's going to say, oh, you dead wrong. We just talked about Malcolm. No, I'm not going to do that to you anyway. Lord. I'm against cancer, the disease. But for those who were caught up in the zodiacs, I just pointed that out for you, that we were born on the same exact day. And that truly is my sister in the Lord, I promise you, with everything within me. But we thank God for all that he is doing, Dr. Robinson, you know, for starting Elations, the magazine, for doing Elations Radio, for Elations Honors. And by the way, FYI, for those of you that missed us last year, we are coming back in November. Elations Honors, it's a TBA event. We're going to give you details as God unfolds and gives it to us. You'll be hearing somewhere around August, September, probably somewhere around September. We're going to start really sharing.
No,
sooner
than that.
Said. Okay, well, listen, you're still interrupting my flow. Would you please stop?
I love you. Let me stop.
No, you don't, because if you love me, hey, watch this. Wait, look, if you love me, you'd be quiet for 5 seconds. No, let me stop. We talked about mouth hurt. Watch yourself. Anyway, the bottom line is we'll be getting you information as soon as we can so that you will know what's going on. We want you to come visit, come and share with us, come meet us, because we're all going to be there, along with the other family members of Elations Radio. We have a great time in the Holy Ghost, and I don't know if we can arrange this, Sister Michelle, but if we're going to do a meet and greet on Thursday, why don't we just go bowling Thursday night? Let somebody get beat down, and then we could start everything on Friday morning with our first show. I mean, it's something to think about, you know. I don't know if we can do that, but we'll talk about it later. Anyway, the Lord bless you.
That's
the Lord,
a good idea.
The Lord causes face
That's
to shine
idea.
Upon you. She's interrupting me again.
No, let me tell you, you brought a bowling.
Speak to
There's
her,
a bowling
Lord.
Alley.
Would you, Lord,
There's a bowling alley around the corner from the hotel.
Lord, tell her this is my time. Lord, Holy Spirit, tell her this is my time. This is my time. Tell her, Holy Spirit. Thank you, sir. I appreciate
it. Is your
it.
Time. You're so sweet.
But why are you on my
but there
time?
There is a bowling alley.
That's like taking my lunch. So you taking my time. Now why are you taking my lunch? I was hungry. I wanted that bologna sandwich. Why you take it?
But that's a good idea. I was just giving you a prop. That's a good idea to do something on Thursday night, like a bowling.
You know what I'm going to do? Hey, now I'm going to say this to you. No, I'm going to say this to you. Now, Cal, please, I can give you 100 points. I can give you 100 points and never have to worry about falling behind with you.
I do 250 average.
You sure you do. You be on the PBA if you have that kind of average, okay? Now, I myself have I got a legitimate 212 average. That's legitimate.
Oh, well,
and
I'm not going to lie.
But see, I shouldn't have told you that because I could show you better than I could tell you. But
I have to bring my little brother. But anyway.
Oh, bring everybody you want. I promise you. I won't be the least bit fearful. They throw a strike, I'm throwing a strike. That's all I'm going to tell you on that. But anyway, the bottom line is this. We want you to meet us this coming Saturday night at 10 p.m. as Apostle Irvin Whitlow shares with us in Making Marriage Meaningful. It's a show that's real, that's raw, that's relevant. It deals with the issues concerning marriage and everyday life. You've got to be there to hear it. That's the best I can tell you. Do not miss this. Because if you do, you're going to wish you hadn't. For the Pastor's Corner, I say, Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you once again for another opportunity and chance to have this conversation, to talk about the things that are near and dear to our hearts, those things that concern your heart. Now, Father, as we part this radio, these airways, but never your presence, go with us, stand by us, lead us, guide us, guard us, govern us, protect us, God. Minister to us in the night season for those who are going to get rest tonight. Let it be sweet sleep, and for those who have to work through the night, let safety be rest, rule, reign, and abide within each and every one of them. Now unto him who is able to present us faultless before his throne, to the only wise God be glory, majesty, dominion, and power both now, henceforth, and forevermore. And the people of God said amen, amen, and amen. Dr. Kimby Robinson,
amen.
Get the music humping and jumping and get it pumping so we can make our way out of here. Until next Thursday for the Pastor's Corner, I'm Bishop-elect saying, God's peace go with you. It's in your hands.
Amen.
I didn't hear that last
amen.
Of the Lord.